Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read some verses here, and it's amazing how the things that Kevin was saying, a lot of it, I could just say ditto about the things that we talked about. Some of the verses actually we're going to read, and were similar, but that's how it works a lot of times, that's good that it does that, because we haven't talked. I think we talked Monday about today and who was going to do what, but we don't ever talk about what we're going to teach or preach on. It just happens that way. But Ephesians chapter 6, notice verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always, with all power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I want to look at the things that Paul is talking about here, and this is the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, he's writing to people that he didn't know. He's writing to some people who... He had come to know Christ after he had left. Paul spent years in Ephesus, and then he left. And he told them when he left that he wasn't ever coming back. And he didn't. That was in the book of Acts. And so the book of Ephesians is written to people that he never had the opportunity to meet. These Ephesians were they came to know Christ later and were not part of Israel. They had never gone into a synagogue, no doubt. They were idol worshipers. No, probably worshipped the goddess Diana. Now that they are saved, Paul is giving them instructions of who they are in Christ, what their blessings are in Christ, and how they are to act and how they are to walk now that they are in Christ. And so the end of this chapter, or the end of this book, in verse 10, finally, the last thing, this is it. In fact, this is the last few things that Paul will say to these people, and it has to do with standing. And it has to do with a fight, a wrestling match. He uses the word wrestle in verse 12, and a fight, and being strong. And standing, and I think that as we come closer and closer to the end of the dispensation of grace, these words that Paul speaks to the people of Ephesians are more and more important to us, because finally we're in those days, we're in those last days, and it's finally the evil day. In fact, he talks about it in verse 13. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And it's not, and we'll look at that. And what we're going to look at today is this stand that we're to take, and how we stand. And And it's a wrestling match. And I think about the I used to coach wrestling. I wrestled in high school, and I coached wrestling in high school. And so I know a little bit about wrestling. And I know basically the it is two forces against each other pressing back and forth, one trying to get the other one down. Ultimately is what a wrestling match is. One taking the other one down and keeping them down for a time until the referee hits the mat and it's over, or time's out. You know, of course, if there's nobody that gets pinned. But so we're to stand, and so evidently being a wrestling match, there is a force that wants us not to stand, but to fall out. And the opposite of standing, and we're going to look at this, Paul tells us to stand. And the opposite of that, and Paul talks about this as well, is to faint. And when you faint, you fall out. You're not standing anymore, you're lying down. So there are forces, there are principalities, there are powers, there are the rulers of the darkness of this world. They would have you to not stand, and they put pressure on you to faint, to stop standing. Well, what is standing? What does that have to do with? What does it mean to stand? Having done all to stand, therefore, stand. Well, Kevin read the verse. I want to look at it again. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye what? Stand. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Notice the order here. He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. You see this? There is a gospel, that Paul's gospel, and I'm going to call it Paul's gospel. He says this, he calls it my gospel three times. And he received that gospel. That gospel, he said in Galatians chapter 1, that I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel was something that was new, that was given to Paul. And that's why it's Paul's gospel. And it's preached. Notice what it says. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So this gospel, Paul's gospel, is preached. And as it is preached, as people believed it, it was received. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you receive that gospel. You hear that gospel. And you receive it, you believe it, you trust it for yourself. You trust that Jesus Christ, the salvation is in the man Christ Jesus. The gospel is what Christ Jesus did for you and what He provided for you as a free gift. The gospel is that Christ died for your sins, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day. The gospel is pure. The gospel is simple. The gospel is easy to believe. If you will just trust Him. It's not hard. He would not make it. Why would He send His Son into this world to live a life as a man, the man Christ Jesus, and go to a cross, face death, face and take our sins upon Him, go through all of that, die, buried, rose again the third day, And then make it so hard that that nobody could believe it or nobody could receive it. We wouldn't do that. It's simple. It's simplicity in Christ. The gospel's preached. The gospel is received. And notice the third part. It says, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and then wherein you stand. You stand in the gospel. That's where that stand is that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. You stand in the gospel. What does it mean to stand? What does it mean? What is he talking about here? Well, notice verse 3 and 4. Well, notice verse 2 first, I'm sorry. By which also you're saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And Kevin hit it right on the nail right on the head. If you keep in memory. You know what? The day that I got saved, I was saved right here at this church on January the 6th, 1991. I remember the date because I wrote it down. I'm not saying anybody has to remember a date. But that day, the gospel was preached, and I became convicted. I was already under conviction. I had been under conviction. Joy got saved a couple months before I did, and it really just bothered me to no end. I was under conviction, and that day, the gospel was preached. That the pure gospel, the message that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and that salvation is not anything that I have to work for, or anything that I have to figure out in my head, or anything that I have to say the right words. It's not a secret club that you have to say the right password. It is simply just putting your trust in what has already been done. And that day, the gospel was fresh to me. It became alive to me. It became something real to me that day, and I received it. And from that point on, I'm either standing in that gospel or I have fainted from that gospel. You know what that means? It's keeping it fresh. It's keeping it in memory. It's keeping it alive in yourself. The fact that I was lost and I was on my way to hell and there was nothing that I could do to stop it other than just trusting what Christ did for me. And at that time, it was very real. Now, as time goes by, what happens to us? We kind of forget. It's not as big of a deal anymore. It's not as precious to us anymore. We don't keep it in memory. It's not something that we keep. It's not something that we stand in. How do you do that? You continue to believe it. You continue to understand and recognize some things. You understand. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. Standing in the gospel. Standing. Continuing to stand. Why? Because there's a forces, not flesh and blood. We tend to blame people for things. And people make us mad, and people can they might hurt our feelings, as Kevin was saying. They might shun us, or they may, tell lies about us. They may say things that we don't like. But our wrestling match is not with flesh and blood. But it's with those principalities and those powers who want us to not stand. Satan wants you to forget the gospel. He wants you to forget about what Christ has done for you. He wants you to forget that you're complete in Christ. You see, that's what Colossians 2 is about. Let's read. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. Huh. As you've received Him, well, how'd you receive Him? By faith? You received Him by the gospel. The gospel I preached unto you and that you have received and wherein you stand. That gospel is the center. It's the centerpiece. And as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, you walk in Him. You walk in Him. How? Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You get built up in the faith. You get rooted. You get established in the faith. Because why? Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. Spoil you. Not that word, spoil there. It's not like what happens to milk if you leave it out too long. It can be because it becomes unusable. But it also has to do with to the victor goes to spoil. What does that mean? Well, that means that if a ruling army comes into a city and they take over that city, guess what they get? They get everything they want out of that city. They get the spoils. They get everything that's good. So Paul is warning these people in Colossae, beware lest any man spoil you. And if any man take over you, take over your standing, how would you do that? Through philosophy. That would be like the a lot of the TV preachers. That's like Joel Osteen. He teaches philosophy. He teaches how to live, how to be positive, how to think positive. And vain deceit of just out and out deceiving people. And the traditions of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Tradition, religion, all of the things that go with religion. That's how people get spoiled. That's how people stop standing. For in Him, verse 9, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You're complete in Him, Christ, who's the head of all principality and power. Wait a minute. Paul said in Ephesians 6, who do we wrestle against? Against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. But Paul says here, he's the head. That means he's got control. That means that we're complete in Christ, and although those opposing forces will try to keep us from standing, ultimately we've got the power. We've got the head. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are complete in Him. And we have to keep that in memory. We have to keep in memory of who we are in Christ. We're complete. I'm not going to read all the verses for time's sake, but we've got everything that we need to serve the Lord in this flesh that we live in. Although we live in a body of flesh that is no good, that we have to bring into subjection, we are complete. We have His Word, we have His Holy Spirit, and we have His grace that abounds and gives us everything that we need to serve Him. We're complete in Him. And we have to keep that in memory. We have to be rooted and grounded to remember that. We have to remember that we're sealed. We're sealed. Look over in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, that verse 12, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Unto the praise of His glory. We're sealed. We are saved. When you trust Christ, when you heard the gospel preached and you received it, and you stand in that, you recognize by standing, what part of standing is recognize what it is that you are, who you are in Christ, and what you have in Christ. You're complete in Christ. You're sealed. You're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and that is the earnest of your inheritance. And Ephesians chapter 4 says you're sealed until the day of redemption. There's nothing that can take that away from you. Even if you don't stand, you're still sealed. You keep that in memory. What was accomplished at the cross was the fact that you're now sealed. You're complete in Him. Let's look on. Let's look at some other things. Look over in Colossians. I should have told you to stay there. And look in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, and if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're risen with Him. You're already seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You were crucified with Him, you were buried with Him, and now you're risen with Him. So if you're risen with Him, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now notice this verse here. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, that seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? You're dead, but your life is hid in Christ with God. Well, if you're dead, how do you have life? Well, let's read the next verse. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Do you realize that if you're dead, even we're born dead. You understand that when you're born in sin. And now, hold on to Colossians and look back over in Ephesians. And look in chapter 2. Hold on to Colossians and look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. You're born dead. And your flesh is dead to God. What does that mean? Well, what can a dead person do anything for anybody? If somebody's dead, they can't communicate. They can't do anything. They're dead. Well, you see, when you're born into this world, you're born dead to God. There's nothing that you can give to God. You're dead. When you trust Christ as your Savior, your flesh is still dead. But you have life. You have His life. He's the only one that has life. You want life today? You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Otherwise, you're dead. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. He is our life. He is our life. You have life, then you have Jesus Christ. He said in John, He said, "For I am the resurrection, I am the life." There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. We're dead. Look back in Colossians. Verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. You know what mortify means? To kill something. To reckon something to be dead. Look back in Romans. Look in Romans chapter 8. Standing. We're talking about standing in the gospel. Standing in the gospel is recognizing and continuing to recognize that we're complete in Him, that we're sealed, that we're dead and our life is Christ's life. Notice in Romans chapter 8. Notice verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. The body is dead. Your body, your flesh is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwell in you. He shall quicken your mortal body. He makes you have life. He makes it possible for you to serve the Lord. He makes it possible for you to do something for the Lord. You're alive. Look back in chapter 6. Look in chapter 6. Notice verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin, and you're dead. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe also we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but he in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does the gospel do? Standing in the gospel, you recognize the fact that you're alive and the life that you have is His life. That you're dead. Your life is dead. You were born that way. But there's life. Look in Galatians. Look in Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2. Notice verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's not me that lives, Paul says. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I live. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ. Do you see that if you've received the gospel, it's not your life. It's His life. And the life you live, The life that you have is eternal life. And that's His. That's the gift. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has given you His life. He's given you eternal life. You're on this earth for, at tops, 100 years. Most of us won't see close to that. But some people live to be 100. Some people live a little bit longer than 100. 100 years. Next to eternity, what's 100 years? Nothing. If 1,000 years is one day, and a day with the Lord's 1,000 years, one day, 100 years here on earth is not even it's a tenth of a day in God's time. It's a couple hours. That's our life here on earth. In this short time that we have, God has asked us to stand. He doesn't want us to faint. He wants us to stand. Look, how do you do that? Well, turn over to 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to be winding down here. If I let you out early, you can't tell my daddy. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice verse 13. I'm just going to jump right in here. For we have the selfsame spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So the context here is believing and speaking. In other words, you speak about what you believe. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And I'm not going to get into this right now very much, but what the redounding to the glory of God through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. What Paul is saying there is everything that he did it for the glory of God. And that's what we should do. Paul says, let everything that you do in word or deed do all in the name of the Lord. And what ultimately our goal is as members of the body of Christ is to give glory to the Lord. We want people to be thankful to the Lord. When we do something, our motive should be, whatever you do in word or deed, we should want God to get the glory for it. And that happens when people are thankful. In other words, let's say that there's a friend that you have and they're in need. Maybe it's some kind of financial problem. And you help them out. Your motive behind that shouldn't be you want them to think that you're a good person or that you're good or that you're a good friend. Your purpose in doing that should be, I want them to thank the Lord for this. I want them to go home after I've helped them and I want them to thank God for this. Not you get the credit, not me get the credit. God gets the credit. That's what it means there when he says, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. When people are thankful to the Lord, He's the one getting the glory. We don't want the glory. We want the Lord to get the glory. We want the Lord to be thankful for what's accomplished in our lives. Now notice what he says in verse 16. For which cause we faint not. That's the opposite of standing. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How do you keep in memory of something? Paul said that the gospel I preached unto you, which you received, and wherein you stand, if you keep in memory. How do you keep something in memory? You think about it. It's something that you think about. It's something that you remind yourself. It's something that you renew. Those of you who are saved, if you're not saved today, Jesus Christ died for you. He paid for all of your sins. And if you will trust Him right now, He will save you. He will save you right now if you'll trust Him. And then you can start standing in this gospel. But my question today is for those of you who are saved. Are you standing or have you fainted? Are you as fervent, have as much zeal today as you did when you first trusted Christ as your Savior? Or have you forgotten? Maybe your memory's a little fuzzy. Well, you renew it. You know what? This coming weekend, is a perfect time with the preaching every night to get back, to renew, to get to that zeal, for us to stand in this gospel. To stand. Look, one more verse and I'm going to be done. Look in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1. Notice verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, becoming means enhances the gospel of Christ. It becomes it. It enhances it. It makes it stand out. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Your conversation is the life that you live, the things that you do. It can include your conversation, your what you say, and it does include that. But it's your walk, it's your life that you have here in the flesh. Does it become, does it enhance, does it speak forth the gospel of Christ? Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye do what? Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Stand fast. We are church here. We are a group of believers. And as a group of believers, we should stand fast for this gospel. We should stand in this gospel. We should only let our conversation be as it becometh and enhances and brings out the gospel of Christ. And we stand fast in this, in one mind, striving together. And notice verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Well, who's your adversaries? Ephesians chapter 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. When you stand alone, it's easy to feel intimidated. It's easy to feel like you're the only one there. That's why we have a fellowship here. That's why we have a church. We can come together. You know, over the years, I've watched Lester's cows. You know, cows are smart enough to understand that they generally stay together. You know why they do that? There's safety in numbers. They feel more secure in these numbers. They feel, and they're protected in these numbers. As we get the opportunity to fellowship and to come together and to study God's Word, it's a chance for us to come together and not be terrified by our adversary, but to stand fast and strive for the faith of the gospel. This is our chance to get together and to do that. And we shouldn't take it for granted, and we should be here when we can be here. Because it helps you to stand fast. It helps you to keep in memory. It helps you to renew. Again, I ask you the question. Are you standing or have you fainted? And if you fainted, Paul says it's time to wake up. If you're sleeping, wake up. Why? Because our salvation, the rapture of the church, is nearer than it was when we believed. And it's coming at any moment and at any time. Okay? I thank you for being here. And Lord willing, we'll see you Friday at 7 o'clock.